Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, this week's show is part two of a two-part series featuring highlights from the recent CSUN 2012 conference held in San Diego, California.
The official name of the conference is the 27th Annual International Technology and Persons with Disabilities Conference, organized by the Center on Disabilities at California State University, Northridge, where it gets its nickname, CSUN Conference. We'll reintroduce four attendees who you met last week talking about the conference and hear more of what they thought was new and exciting that they saw at the conference. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Brian McDonald, who we will reintroduce to you in a few minutes.
I encourage people to follow what's going on in technology in general.
And let me tell you, CSUN is certainly the place to do that. CSUN, as we talked about last week, has thousands of people get together from all areas of accessibility, and they show off some of their new products, they talk about some of their new research, they network and connect with each other, and generally it's a place where you can just find out about everything new that's going on and what people are up to.
And just in general, it's important to follow what's new in technology, especially if you have a disability, which is very amenable to having your situation simplified or having various things even enabled by the proper use of technology.
And independent of CSUN, this is something I've always done myself through my decades of working at Xerox and as a scientist, just keeping track of things that are new, reading about what's new, reading what new assistive devices might be around, what new programs might be possible for me to work with. And then you can pick and choose which ones work best for you, depending on what functions that you want to perform.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll reintroduce some people you met last week and who we'll be speaking more with this week about what they thought was new and exciting at the CSUN conference. Here's a quick introduction of them. If you'd like more details about them, listen to show number 1211.
Brian McDonald, President, National Braille Press in Boston.
I am Victor Tsaran. I work for Yahoo as a Senior Accessibility Program Manager. That's my daily job. I also work on JSONAR project.
I'm Jonathan Mosen, and I'm Vice President of Blindness Hardware Product Management at Freedom Scientific. I'm based in New Zealand, but work for Freedom Scientific in Florida.
My name is Ron Miller, and I am the Blindness Hardware Product Manager with Freedom Scientific. And Pete and Nancy, it is great to be with you guys tonight, and sort of by extension with everybody else who might listen to this.
Well, it was also great to be able to talk to each of them, and they provided us with lots of useful information that I'm sure our listeners would like to hear.
And they all seemed to be very enthusiastic about sharing what they had learned with all of you. Well, CSUN is apparently the place to be. Everybody wants to go there. Apparently, it can be both very exciting and very exhausting. Here's Brian McDonald's story of his trip.
Talk about a whirlwind schedule. I flew out at, well, so it was snowing here, and I had a 5 a.m. flight out of Boston. So I got up at 2 a.m. on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, shoveled, because I was leaving my wife with a storm coming. Left at 3 a.m. to go to the airport for a 5 a.m. flight, thinking it would take a long time to get through. And got off the ground, which was great, and then landed at like 10:30 in San Diego, 10:30 Thursday morning, and went through till 11 p.m. Pacific time. So I was up for like 25 hours or something like that before I ended day one. And then Friday morning, I had meetings again and presented at 4:20 Friday afternoon, and then took the red eye home and got home at 8:30 Saturday morning. So, and then I went to Kittery, Maine to go shopping with my son and my wife. It's like, I just want to sleep. But it was a quick trip, a very efficient trip, and really worth going. But it was really tight. We had like 10 or 11 meetings in that two-day period.
Well, if people are willing to go through all of that, you know that CSUN is really an exciting place to be and to meet your colleagues and network with the other people.
And Brian wasn't the only one who had a busy, busy time there. Here's Ron Miller.
I actually didn't get to wander around CSUN. They get me in those places and they make me work. I don't know what the deal is. They expect me to actually, you know, put in 8 or 10 hours a day. So I was either in the booth, the Freedom Scientific booth, or at a couple of presentations.
Although these conferences are fun, as Ron mentions, they are often a lot of work for the people who are attending and have specific tasks that they need to attend to.
But I'm willing to bet they're all itching to go back next year.
So am I.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Maybe someday we'll get there.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is an overview of more of what's new and exciting at the CSUN conference besides what we talked about last week in show number 1211. As we mentioned last week, the CSUN conference features multiple sessions with talks about blindness and low vision, but also other disabilities such as deafness and hard of hearing issues, mobility issues, cognitive or learning disabilities, and aging effects as related to new technologies, legal issues, transportation, education, employment, and others. So it really runs the gamut. There were almost 5,000 attendees there this year with 127 exhibitors and interactive events both in person and via Twitter and other social media. So here's a quick reminder of what the CSUN conference is all about from Ron Miller.
CSUN is also professionals in the field, and not just in blindness, but also in various cognitive impairments and physical impairments other than blindness, and they are coming together to meet, to network, to go to a large number of presentations on a huge number of topics that are relevant to people who are working within the field and also for people who are consumers or end users in the field.
In addition to the interactions among the various attendees, most of the major technology and access companies had a presence at the conference. Here's Brian McDonald.
There were a lot of sessions out there on Android, Google was there, IBM was there. It was really great to meet with a lot of these organizations and companies. There was a good presentation on Apple and iOS and tablets and iPads compared to traditional note takers. And I'm pleased to say that the results of those discussions were that a good quality, affordable note taker is still appropriate and valuable, and that's why we're building the B2G.
Brian mentioned the B2G product, which the National Braille Press is developing, and he'll be talking a little bit more detail about that later on.
Brian was one of the presenters at the conference, and he was kind enough to give us an abridged version of his talk, so you can get a little bit of the flavor of what it must have been like to be there.
It was Dean Blasey and myself, and we were giving an update on the market itself for refreshable Braille displays, both current status as well as future potential. As I always start off with National Braille Press first, and I give kind of, for those that don't know us in the audience, a history of what we are, what we've been doing, because this is our 85th year of producing Braille and paper, and then how we always stress how Braille is literacy in our perspective and how critical it is for children to learn Braille and how important it is for employment and so forth. And then I rolled it right into how we're at this point in our history of the organization where we will always continue to print paper Braille and paper books and for children and adults, but we are transitioning into the digital world with products like the B2G that is our first note-taker venture, and then other things we're working on, you know, in reference to technology. We did talk about what we're doing and where the status is on the B2G in reference to production and testing. We actually had it there to demonstrate, which was for the first time that we had a working keyboard and Braille display to demonstrate the Code Factory Braille accessibility apps that they have, mobile accessibility. We had that online with a screen that was plugged into a screen to show output so that you could see it shifting from, you know, SMS text messaging to calendar to clock to, you know, different functions that it had. It was a quick demonstration, and we talked about the future technologies that are being tested now with haptics, which are really interesting. And I don't know if you had seen the recent couple people have done Braille tablets, like an Android tablet for Braille input, where the capacitance of your fingertips make the keyboard at wherever you put your hand. I don't know if you've seen that yet. Stanford University did that with Dr. Adrian Liu. But I talked about those features and how haptic technologies with vibrations can someday create a tablet that could have Braille input on the keyboard, as well as have vibrations with different frequencies. So theoretically, you could feel a bar chart, a line curve, or tactile graphic, all by vibration on a flat screen.
We weren't familiar with the term haptic technologies. Essentially, what happens here is if you have some kind of display, you can have vibrations all over the display, and therefore you can show two-dimensional things that are more difficult to show in Braille. I mean, it's difficult to get Braille maps and tactile maps, but if this technology can be made affordable and workable in, say, a tablet system for the blind, that would be a great advance.
And as we mentioned last week, SAS Incorporated is working on just such a display. So there's all sorts of research going on and trying to make that practical.
You know, and for those not familiar with the National Braille Press, they really are very strong advocates of using Braille and spreading the use of Braille around to make it more affordable for everybody. They don't want this to be a lost art. I mean, people talk about sometimes there isn't that much Braille being taught in schools, particularly to young people these days, and people talk about blind children growing up to be illiterate. But the National Braille Press is really pushing to make Braille affordable, especially with their B2G device, and they make many Braille books available for blind children and blind adults also. So you should look into them if you're interested in Braille.
Freedom Scientific also announced some new products, and although they haven't been released yet, Ron Miller described some of their exciting features.
We will be releasing a new version of the Focus 40 Blue, and I am really excited about it. It was a lot of fun to show people the current Focus 40 Blue and then put the new one in their hands, and almost universally everybody kind of went, ooh, because it's about 37% smaller. You hold it in your hand and it's thinner and it's shorter front to back. We've done a lot of work on it. I've jokingly told everybody we starched it and ironed it and it shrunk. So it's really, really nice. It has all of the same feature set, great battery life in excess of 20 hours. But we've gone and some people have requested some stuff. And one of the things that makes our products great is we listen to everybody's comments. And one of the things we were asked for is smaller size. So we did that. So we made it smaller. But the other thing folks are doing since 2009, when the Focus 40 Blue was first introduced, I think one of the big game changers is the introduction of the iPhone and the iOS platform's accessibility of VoiceOver. And people have begun using our Braille displays, the Focus 40 Blue with Bluetooth, and of course other displays with their iPhones. And the Focus 40 Blue has been very popular. A lot of people are iPhoning and iPadding with it and everything. And that's where you want it smaller, because you're carrying it around, you're texting and doing cool stuff. And the other comment was they wanted a keyboard that was quieter and just had a different feel. So we spent a lot of time refining this new keyboard. If you're familiar with the current Focus 40 Blue, you're not going to be lost. We really haven't changed the key layout. We think that's a great key layout. But the keys have just a really great feel, a smooth and quiet feel. So you can Braille on this thing for hours. For folks who know the layout of the Focus 40 Blue, we've eliminated that rear row, the nav row of buttons behind the cursor routers, and that saved us a little bit of space. And we've replaced the whiz wheels with nav rockers, and they're rocker buttons. Your fingers fall very naturally on them. The functionality is exactly the same. If you move your finger up and press the top of the rocker, you're going to pan up or scroll up through the document or file or the list. If you move your finger down or rocket the button down, you'll move forward through a file or a list. And to replace the press of the whiz wheel, which used to let you cycle the settings between line, sentence, paragraph, and focus panning or display panning, we now have a mode button that does the exact same thing.
Of course, one of the great things about a Bluetooth Braille display is no wires. You remember the days when your Braille display was connected to your computer with a big, thick parallel cable? Then it became USB cables, so that was a little bit more manageable. But now you can just wander around with your Braille display. It doesn't actually have to be attached to your computer. So that's really great.
So thank you to Freedom Scientific for all the improvements you've made to the Focus 40 Blue.
But wait, there's more. The other thing that everybody wanted and again, especially people who are using smartphones and mobile devices, is they wanted a smaller display. They wanted something that was even more portable. So we're introducing the Focus 40 Blue, but we're also introducing the Focus 14 Blue. And that is neat. I'm really excited about it. It's not a 12-cell Braille display. It's a 14-cell Braille display. And as you know, if you are using contracted Braille, two more cells can mean an entire word. So it lets you snug some more stuff on there. The two cells can make a real difference. And this display is small. To give you an idea, Pete and Nancy, size-wise, I carried it around in my shirt pocket during the time I was down on the exhibit hall floor, and people would come up and ask to see it, and I could slip it out of my shirt pocket and show them. We had a full-to-scale model of the 14. It's just slightly wider than a dollar bill, and it is as long as a dollar bill. It's exciting. It has all of the features of the Focus 40 Blue. Everything we've discussed is exactly the same, including the great feel of the keyboard.
Now, I think that is really cool to have a Braille display that's a little bit smaller. I mean, after all, Braille is pretty bulky, and even a 40-character Braille display is pretty heavy. And here you are walking around with an iPhone, and you want to use it with your Braille device, and you got to walk around with this thing that's a couple of pounds. But now with this Focus Blue 14, if you can just slip that in your shirt pocket, that's really enabling. You know, also, we talked with Victor about the use of Braille by blind folks. And, you know, one of his comments I thought was very interesting. He said that Braille is really a great thing for people in meetings because they can multitask. You know, a lot of sighted folks, you can look at a piece of paper while you're listening to somebody, but if you're listening to someone and you're blind, it's hard to listen to a speech synthesizer at the same time. So if you can make Braille affordable, smaller, and make it easier for a blind person to multitask, carry around with them, you really enable them to compete with their sighted colleagues.
And he meant multitasking in a positive way, so that he could take notes during a meeting or read his notes that he had brought to the meeting and contribute fully to the meeting. You know, it sounds at first like, oh, great, he can be rude and ignore everybody and read his stuff while the meeting's going on. But that's really not what he meant. He really meant, you know, this would enable him to be more productive without disrupting other people. And isn't that a great thing?
So it'd be interesting to see one of these Focus 14 displays someday and hold that in our hands.
And Jonathan Mosen, as a Braille user, and he also works at Freedom Scientific, found some other really valuable applications of the Focus 14 Blue.
It's an ideal smartphone companion for sure. I mean, you get into situations where sometimes it's just not appropriate for you to be using speech. Sometimes it's not practical. You may be at a restaurant or something. And, you know, professionals have to be connected all the time these days. There's kind of an implicit expectation about that. And so sometimes even when you're in a restaurant environment, maybe having a business dinner, a business lunch, and you get a message that you're expecting, maybe you're connected to your company exchange server, and maybe you get a text message, and you can just whip out this little Focus 14 Blue, read that text message fairly inconspicuously, and then go ahead and reply on a very comfortable ergonomic keyboard. I just love to Braille on this thing, and send it off. And the task is done very quickly and without any kind of noise going on. And I think it's fantastic. And of course, you don't have to get out a cumbersome Bluetooth keyboard, and you don't have to be slowed down by hunting and picking around on the touchscreen to get your reply done.
Although these devices aren't available right now, they just had demo units at CSUN, they should be available by this summer or a little later this year.
Jonathan also highlighted another new product from Freedom Scientific that they were touting at the conference.
We had the new Topaz high-definition video magnifiers that we were showing there. And I think the best way I can describe that as a blind person is to say that I get that the difference between the current Topaz and the new HD is kind of like the difference between AM and FM. The image is just so much more clear and precise and sharp.
Can you elaborate on some of the new features of the Topaz?
Essentially, it is the same unit, except that it is a high-definition unit. And so that means that when you go down to lower magnification levels, because you've got more pixels to play with because of the high definition, the image can still stay very crisp and clear, even at low levels like 2x magnification. And of course, for some people, the issue isn't so much magnification, but color contrast and that kind of thing. So if we can keep the clarity of the image at those low magnification levels while continuing to offer all of the features of the Topaz, then we really have a breakthrough going on there. And so the feedback was very positive about that.
And these CCTVs have come a long way in the past few decades. I used to use a CCTV many years ago, and let me tell you, the camera was the size of a loaf of bread. I mean, these days, the cameras fit in your hands. The depth of field focusing is a lot better, so you don't have to keep the material quite as flat. These screens with the LCDs are nice and bright with lots of contrast. They've really come a long way.
And where can you go if you want more information about these devices?
If anybody wants to look this stuff up, they can go to www.freedomscientific.com.
And there you can look at not only the new Focus 40 and 14 products and the Topaz product, but the many other products that Freedom Scientific sells.
Now for this week's high-tech item. As promised, the B2G note taker that the National Braille Press hopes to bring to market later in 2012. Here's the president of the National Braille Press, Brian McDonald.
Note takers are extremely expensive, as we all know, at, you know, $6,000 for some of them. And our goal was to find a way to make a more affordable device. And the first thing we really wanted was a full-page display. That's our ultimate goal, because full-page display with multiple lines is great for teaching a child to write composition and grammar and paragraph structure and all that. Realizing that that technology wasn't ready yet, we said we can still make a difference in the market by making a much lower cost, affordable note taker that's kind of like a better mousetrap. You know, new features, new technologies, better boards are out there now. And so we designed a 20-cell portable display that has a lot of features built into it. Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, of course, a camera on the bottom so you could take pictures of a restaurant menu or a business card or a color identifier, you know, different types of apps you could use with it, or currency identifiers, those kinds of things. It has USB outlets, a micro and a traditional USB port, and video output for a TVI to hook it to a monitor to see what, you know, the child's doing and learning. And we hope to sell it between $2,000 and $2,500. It has a 32 gigabyte internal memory storage, plus an SD card option, so there's plenty of room for memory. A 1 gigahertz processor, so it's really fast. And we just weighed it for the first time with all the guts inside it. It's 1 pound, 7 ounces, roughly. It's a nice package. It's pretty ergonomic. We spent a number of months on ergonomics. Our goal is to have some pretty good units at the major conventions in July if all goes well. And
although Brian didn't mention this explicitly, the B2G product is essentially an Android smartphone. It's built on the Android system with a lot of customizations from the National Braille Press. It should really be an interesting device. And you have a 3G capability in there, is that right?
It has 3G capability now. Everything's so fluid. We believe we can fit the same 4G module in it without any real estate changes or voltage changes or anything. So we haven't done that yet, but we are looking at that. But it will definitely have a 3G capability. Now, I've had inquiries from people that have said, well, you know, will it be for Verizon or AT&T or Sprint? And we haven't got certified for any of those yet, but it'll have the SD slot and you can do what you want. And we will be doing that certification process, of course.
So there are lots of options for people and lots of new devices on the horizon to give blind folks more capabilities and more functionality. And you just have to keep your eyes open, as Brian said in the tip of the week.
This is a really powerful device that they're building, that they're hoping to sell soon, and they're trying to keep the price really low. One way they're doing that is they're funding a lot of the development costs with donations.
What we're doing, I think, is exciting. We're always looking for fundraising if people want to find some great source for us, because we do all this work through private foundations and corporate support and individual donations, and this whole project for the B2G has been done that way. So it slows down, unfortunately, sometimes, but we haven't had to do that yet. But it always is on these little cutting edges of, well, we're almost out of money, and then we get another support. It's a challenge, but Our goal is to make it as affordable as possible with just enough margin to cover customer service and betterments to the product. So as low as we can make it, we'll sell it for, as low as we can produce it.
Well, we wish them good luck in finalizing that product. They've come a long way. I've been talking with Brian for the past several months about the development of the B2G, and it looks like they're getting close to releasing it, so we should be able to see it pretty soon.
And if you want more information about the B2G or anything else you can get from the National Braille Press, here's where you can go.
Every time I do an interview or an email, I always give my email. If people want to email me directly, I get a number of them every day, and we always try and keep up with questions or inquiries. And I always respond to those right away as well. And my email for reference is bmacdonald, M-A-C-D-O-N-A-L-D, at nbp.org.
And if people wanted to contact you by phone?
My direct number is 617-425-2416. Sometimes it's forwarded to my assistant, Jessica, if I'm not in my office or I'm traveling or whatever.
You know, I should also mention that if you're ever in Boston, they'll be happy to give you a tour of their facilities, and you can see their production processes for making Braille and the rest of the team at the National Braille Press. It's an exciting tour.
Yeah, we took it years ago, and if you want to know more about the tour, just go to the National Braille Press's website, which is www.nbp.org. So if you want more information about everything we just talked about the CSUN conference, and there was more stuff that we couldn't cover even in two shows of Viewpoints, go to the conference homepage. We'll have the link to that on our show notes page on our website. It's kind of long, but you can either Google CSUN 2012 or go to the university's main page at www.csun.edu/COD for Center on Disabilities, and you should be able to get to the conference site pretty quickly from there. If you missed any of the links or phone numbers we gave you, they'll all be in the show notes, which you can find at www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1212. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about an accessible home entertainment system. Can't work the remote for your TV? We'll talk with Jose Tamayo about a system that he made and uses independently to watch television, movies, and home videos, and also to listen to music and podcasts. We'll do demos of using the system with either the Apple remote that comes with the Apple TV or the Apple remote app on the iPhone. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.